Well, let's do this, right?
Okay.
Let's do a show.
All right. Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. I am Aaron Flores.
And I'm Brock Dittus. We are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, Oregon, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that are switching things up today because I got to learn how to man the soundboard for the summer.
That's right.
And we also think about things globally. Hell. I got to look up the notes here. Something, something local, something, something global perspective.
That's right, yeah. It's thinking about things close and things far simultaneously and how they affect each other. You've got the Lars Larson show.
Yes.
Not really.
And you would say something to the effect of covering day-to-day life.
Yeah, we're covering bicycling and transit and simpler living. And sometimes that means going out in the woods for a good long while and camping on the ground.
Hey, speaking of going out to the woods and camping on the ground, guess who we have here today?
Who do we have?
We have Ellie Tallheimer.
Yes, we do.
Hi.
You might know her from Cycling Sojourner, or you might know her from Hop in the Saddle. But you also probably should also know her from Hop in the Saddle.
And other things.
From Cycling Sojourner.
Yeah.
Washington edition.
Right, yeah, the newest
Portland
book.
Portland Society, there you go.
Oh, okay, yeah. There we go.
Portland Society.
How long have you been part of the Portland Society?
Ellie Blue and I co-founded it, oh my gosh, about 4 years ago.
Okay, so you've been a part of it since the beginning.
Yes, yeah. From the very beginning.
Nice.
From the inception, scheming in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Was its birth.
Well, thanks for coming back. This is the third time that you've been
number
on the show
three.
Now.
Number
mm-hmm.
three.
Yeah.
Yep. Always fun.
You've joined
can't get enough.
People such as...
Well, and you bribed me, speaking of. Could you pass me that IPA?
Oh, yeah. So here's the deal. We've got, since this is the Washington book that you released,
oh,
I have Grid 3 IPA, or what is it, 3 Grid? 3 Grid IPA from Schooner Exact, which is out of Seattle.
Hmm.
Or there's also the Crux Half Hitch, which is from Bend. This would hail back to your first book, but the Crux is good. So I leave you the choice.
I'll go for the Washington.
All right, there we go. And Aaron, you have this.
Hey, real quick,
yeah.
Look at the scrolling here. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is
yeah. That, I think when it's working harder, sometimes the lines aren't as wavy,
right.
But then they'll get like more detailed later. So here's an opener. Let me.
You should have some of this too, because there's a lot of it.
Yeah, I'll try. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would assume you can handle 22 ounces of beer. You just seem like that kind of person.
What do you mean?
I guess that could sound bad, couldn't it? What I mean is that you're amazing at bicycle touring.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And pretty good at drinking beer.
I would concur. I think you're pretty much spot on.
All right, and Aaron, here's.
Oh,
some of that.
Yeah,
oh, you got your own. Okay, never mind. All right. So we're all beveraged up then. In that case, let's a toast to podcast number what? 187?
Wow.
Oh, yes. 187 with Ellie Tallheimer. Packing heat.
That is something to toast to.
What you were saying, Aaron, that's what police use to refer to.
That is homicide.
Homicide,
okay. Police code for homicide.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is a callback to the first time you were on the show, and we asked you about packing heat.
Oh, did you? Oh,
long time
because
ago.
I did.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Yes, I did.
And I think I forgot that was the case.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The guy in the truck, the huge truck, taught me how to shoot a weapon. So
yeah.
I didn't wake up in the morning knowing that was going to be the case the day, but ended up that way.
There we go. Well, we're going to talk to you about your book, Cycling Sojourner, in just a couple minutes.
Sure.
Let's check in, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. You're about to leave. I was going to say the country. You're almost leaving the country.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Florida listeners. Oh, yeah. Johnny K.
Mr.
Yeah,
K
hey,
down there.
Mr. K, I'm going to get in contact with you like really soon.
Yeah.
I promise.
Excellent. Maybe even before he hears this.
Probably. anyways, yeah. I'm going to the Sunshine State.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
I call it America's Wang.
Oh, right. As did Bart Simpson?
Homer.
Okay,
Homer
there we Simpson. Go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or George's underpants.
But, yes. I'm going out there to visit family.
Yeah.
We're all doing this big Disney family reunion stuff. So,
right, right.
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing the family.
Right. Not so much to Disney World.
Not so much the Mickey Mouse. Yet.
Yeah, okay. Ellie, are you a fan of Disney World?
No.
No, okay.
Be honest. It's cool. It's cool.
It's okay. You know, no.
You're the one with the gun. I know.
So, Ellie, how long have you been back in heat? I have never actually been to a Disney-owned property, I don't think. So I am a fan of theme parks, kind of. Like, I went to Dutch Wonderland in Pennsylvania, which is where the Amish go to party. And I have been to Silverwood in Idaho, which is just south of Racism and just north of the beautiful lake, I think. Or something like
Arizona?
That.
Arizona?
No. It's up in, like, kind of the panhandle of Idaho. Oh. Yeah. That was a reference to history that probably is not quite as much as it used to be.
Oh. So.
Well, you know what I've heard is that it's really hard. There's no active transportation. Like, you have to take all of their sanctioned.
Oh, yes.
Or you have to have a car, or you have to get in a van. Like, there's no sidewalks to get from your hotel unless you're in the fancy one that's right next to it.
Okay.
In the park itself, you cannot use American dollars.
Wow. Is that right? Do they have their own version of fun tickets?
Dollars.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah. I was going to say it's kind of like East Portland in a way. I'm kidding. That sounds quite interesting. Was there a story recently about a guy who tried to walk to Disney World or something like that?
I don't know.
I thought I saw something in the news, and just speaking of from ignorance now because I cannot remember.
No, it comes up every now and then where like somebody shows up at a theme park of some kind, mm-hmm. you know, using some form of non-car transportation, and they're like, no, we can't.
People have to write stories about it.
Yeah, no, it does. So Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, which is like kind of, I have a good place in my heart for that theme park. It's one of my favorites.
The only theme park you like?
You might say.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to three theme parks in my life.
Yeah.
And one was a Disney theme park. So.
You know, I'm not so into Disney, but I will say that water parks are a whole different thing.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Water parks. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Joe Kermaski, I think, writes about just like how great it was to find a water park. I want to say when he was traveling with his kids across Canada and his wife, unless I'm getting that mixed up with another... another author or book, but
I keep saying
we're just a dime a dozen to you.
All you bike author people, you're just a voice in the mic.
I will say right now, this is the dumbest I have ever sounded on a mic ever. No,
now you know how I feel. Welcome to my chair.
I am sitting in the co-host chair today, and it's enlightening. No, the water park, running across one of those when you've been on bicycle tour and kind of being hot and sweaty and getting yourself a nice cleansing shower as regulated by the health department, and then going into the wonderful waves, the wave machine and the slides and everything like that, and be cooling down. It sounds lovely. Actually, I could use some of that
right now. I
could
go right now.
So here's this fantasy I've had of mine. First of all, I never wrapped up the Cedar Point anecdote.
Oh, right.
Well, we'll come back to that for a second. So this fantasy I've had of mine, during the wintery parts of Portland, you know, when it's rainy and it's kind of gross out and you've been indoors for a long time, I would love to ride out to McMinnville to their indoor water park.
Yeah.
Because... I don't need an indoor water park when it's nice out. I want an outdoor one. I want to be like out in the sun.
Right.
But when it's crappy out, like, why not use an indoor water
park? Okay, so I've been there. Have you been there?
I have not.
Okay, I have.
I've got this down. Okay. You got this tone in your voice that
don't
it's not.
Don't go on the weekend, but definitely go.
Okay.
It's fun.
Okay, excellent. I thought you were about to burst the bubble. Just like it's the worst water park ever, but it's okay.
No, don't ever go.
Just crowded.
I think that Aaron is actually spot on with that idea.
Okay.
A midweek kind of antidepressant water park visit.
Yeah. Kind of like Multnomah Falls. I was there with a party bus yesterday trying to get like a group of people to go and see multiple falls because it's the only waterfall in the gorge.
Right. Right.
It is really
it's the only one. It's the only one that matters.
The only one you can take a 40-foot bus to. But it was just so packed with people. And the Citizen Patrol was leaving notes on people's windshields because like people were just parked haphazardly everywhere. And they were like, you know, don't park this way because the sheriff's going to be here in an hour and he won't like it. So, yeah. Just on the count of theme parks and circuses and such, it's been a while since the New Belgium Brewing Company has had the Tour de Fat in Portland. And I know they do a circuit every year.
Oh, yeah.
But if I remember correctly, I believe they had some rides that were actually like pieces of bicycles and bicycle or pedal powered. So people would hop on. I don't know. Were you in town, Ellie, when this happened?
I wasn't at. I was.
Oh, hey, here's the train.
That's cute.
It's that down home feeling.
That's right. It happens about once a program, maybe twice a program, here at the new studios.
Yeah, I think it depends on when we start.
That's true.
Is a later start time.
That's true. Yeah,
we're catching the 7:15.
I delayed you with my story of commuters and bachelorette parties.
It's all good. It's all good.
Just keep it going.
But yeah, you have not done the Tour de Fat, or you haven't been
part
of it?
No, I haven't. But okay. A promoter came. I was putting on this ride, and he came out with a bunch of human-powered crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, not rides, but just things that you could get on and pedal around. And I don't even remember quite what they were.
Kind of like kinetic motion machines or something?
Yeah, really cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always wanted to go, and I remember I think I turned down an invite to take part in it when it was in Portland, like many years ago. But whatever the reason is, I know Tour de Fat goes to like Chicago and probably somewhere in Nashville or something like that. Like Austin, they hit the big cities around the country, but they do not come to Portland anymore. And I'm not sure if that's just a financial decision or what. But
well, population wise, we're not that large.
Right. Well,
we're just very bikey.
That's true.
And pretty awesome.
And that's what I was going to say is that Portland is basically like Tour de Fat most of the year round.
Yeah. Good point.
So yeah, we are in the middle of Pedalpalooza. I went on the World Naked Bike Ride on Saturday. That was a good time.
Is that your only ride so far?
Actually, it is. Yeah, I'm put to shame, Aaron. You've been on like five of them now, right, or something like that.
I think only. Let me think here. I'll go backwards. So okay. I did not go on the World Naked Bike Ride. Surprise.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Boo.
I know. Look, I'm self-conscious.
It's all good.
Yeah. So let's see. Go backwards. Sock ride.
Oh, yeah. And you got some socks.
I'm wearing.
The hot sock ride?
Yes.
I wish that I
the last forever. Yeah.
No more hot sock rides ever, right?
No more hot sock ride. Steph
why
Rupp,
is that
I didn't realize.
Why is that a rule?
So
silence.
I did ask Steph Routh, who is leading the ride, and it just basically they want to go out while they're on top.
Okay.
Right.
You know? Like stop while it's still fun?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, we have to go on the hot sock ride.
Yeah.
right. We gotta organize this shit again.
Okay, yeah.
Like I imagine the people who've been organizing like the bigger rides, like even World Naked Bike Ride, on some level have to be like, ah, fuck, I gotta do this again.
Right. Well, it's just like the coordination, the logistics. Like if you don't love it, it could become a chore.
Right. So anyways, so did Hot Sock. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Lots of fun. I think they did go out with a really good bang. From before that, I did the single speed ride.
Oh yeah.
Maria Schur, if you're listening, I still haven't shifted out of that gear. I'm still riding in that one gear.
Oh, sure.
Have you guys interviewed her yet, actually?
Oh, yeah.
And actually,
About the Oregon Outback?
Not yet.
Okay, need to.
I talked to her a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was amazed.
She spoke at the Portland Society meeting about it. Amazing story.
Yeah, the Oregon Outback is like anywhere between a 2 and a 5 day ride across the deserts of central Oregon.
Yeah.
Mostly
she
unpaved.
She said she did it in six.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and she said it was really easy, you know. There's times where, you know, you could get yourself into some real trouble.
Right.
If you're not careful. But right,
if you weren't packing heat.
Yeah.
Do you know a crazy part of her story? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll let her tell you the story.
Okay. Yeah. But she has a crazy part. We should note that away.
We'll
just dangle that over our listeners' heads.
That's the carrot for the listeners to follow.
That's right.
Awesome.
No, we've got Maria on the calendar for just a couple weeks away.
Oh, good.
So she's coming in.
Smart man.
Yeah.
So I only did those two yesterday.
Okay.
Because I was feeling really crummy. But in the meantime, because I was feeling crummy and I've got this sort of time crunch of, you know, I'm going to be gone for a lot of the good stuff of Petal Palooza. I'm missing Star Wars. I'm missing Boy versus Prince.
Don't they have rides like that at Disney?
You know what? Prince ride.
I'm just gonna like dress up as Prince.
Yeah, just do your own.
or you could dress as DreamWorks characters.
Screw you, Walt. I felt like I really needed to like go on all of these as many rides as I could as my schedule would allow me.
Make it count.
I skipped Sean Grantin's Country Ride in the City just to give myself a little bit of rest. Though.
Right. Because you've been popping NyQuil and DayQuil.
DayQuil mostly,
yeah,
actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just not feeling
so
good.
Just been feeling terrible. Yeah.
Which is...
I'm on the back end of it now.
Yeah. It's kind of a lame time to feel sick.
It is.
Yeah. I can't believe I hugged you.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, now we all have the flu. But, yeah.
So, and then the day previous, Friday, I did end up going like on three rides, right after the other.
Yes.
Did the Pop Till You Puke ride.
Oh, you did that one.
Led by Lance Puller.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
What did you do? What was that one like?
So it's just this 80s pop ride. Not as much dancing as I thought there was going to be.
Okay.
But we did like all have a really good time.
It sounds like intervals.
It's not. It wasn't hard at all. I mean, he had his tandem and then the giant bamboo trailer.
Yeah.
With the sound system hooked up to that.
Was it a huge
sound
system?
Run by a car battery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty big. It was friggin' loud too. People could hear us coming.
Yeah.
And we rode through the South Waterfront.
Okay.
You know where like all of those really ritzy restaurants and stuff are.
And the go by bike trailer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so.
Is it still a trailer?
So we kind of freaked out the squares over there.
I could see that happening.
From Pop Till You Puke, that met up with the superhero ride.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have a costume, but I just went along.
It's okay. You're a superhero every day, Aaron.
Aw, thanks. And then from there, went on the Guthrie ride.
Oh, yes.
Which was like 10 p.m. start time. And then we rode across the I-5 bridge,
uh-huh,
and then rode east, and then came back the 205.
Oh, nice.
It was pretty awesome. Vancouver at night is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
There was some pretty cool like parts of it. We went out on this like little, I don't know, jetty kind of thing.
There's a great little.
Can I say it like, we went on this jetty, man. It was so cool, dude.
You could see the moon.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did just spend a lot of time laying down and looking at the stars.
But just a reminder, if you go to Washington from Portland, bring your helmet.
And yes, they did remind us.
If you're not in the habit of wearing a helmet, it is legally required in the city of Vancouver. Maybe the county of Clark? I'm not sure.
I was going to say, is it a city ordinance or state law?
It's not state law because I was just in North Bonneville and they don't care there. I don't think there's even a sheriff right now in North Bonneville. I think the last guy quit. They just haven't got a new one. So, yeah.
What are the 6 families going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, congratulations. Good Petal Palooza-ing.
Yeah.
I need to go out and do an actual... The World Naked Bike Ride is... it's part of Petal Palooza, definitely. But I would like to do like one that's actually kind of a Petal Palooza-themed ride, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
like,
you're going to miss a shit ton. You're going to miss the whole thing.
Well, I'm leaving town next week, yeah.
Okay.
So it's 2 months of being in the woods, which is itself kind of something I enjoy, but it's not a Petal Palooza ride. So I've been so busy. I'm going to Grilled by Bike tomorrow night, which is led by Eric, one of our friends, Eric.
Yeah, he was on the Guthrie ride.
Yeah. Of swing bike fame. And we're going to be grilling grillables as we ride from place to place. So I'm excited about
that. So how is that going to happen?
They hooked up a grill to like the front of their bike.
Yeah.
And
they figured out how to ride and like grill and flip these burgers and whatnot.
I heard there's a tandem involved. So the stoker could just be exclusively flipping burgers or something like that.
All right.
Yeah. Or your choice of non-meat substitute patties.
Correct.
So yeah.
Portlandia.
I haven't decided if I'm going to eat vegetarian or meat that night yet, because I've been doing this thing where I like to actually try the vegan options. Like when we went to Los Gorditos the other day.
You had the vegan nachos.
Yeah, the vegan nachos were okay. A lot too much lettuce for nachos, but that's a whole different story. So, Allie, we had you come in here to talk about your book, so we should probably shift to that.
Well, I have a good segue.
Yes.
You were just talking about your trip.
Uh-huh.
Have you looked at your route?
We have looked at maps.
Okay.
I don't know if we know what our route is yet.
Okay.
We're trying to keep it such a mystery.
Adele had said that you didn't really know where you're going yet. So,
yeah, yeah. We have your books for inspiration.
Yeah, that you were looking at. So if you'd looked, we could talk about which rides you would.
Well, I know there are a few that look good, and I'm trying to remember the cool names that you gave them. There's the one that goes over Highway 20, which is that Epic Washington?
Yeah, that is. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the one that goes through the pass to either to or from Mount Vernon and Twisp and Wenatchee on the other side. My grandma lives in Wenatchee, so we're definitely going to be going there at some point this summer.
Wenatchee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cute little town,
it's
right?
It's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I even heard there was a comedy festival up there like a couple weekends ago, which I don't think of comedy when I think of Wenatchee. I don't know if most people in Wenatchee think of comedy, but it's...
maybe it's their own brand of comedy?
Could be. Yeah. I feel like I almost said something offensive about... Yeah. If anybody's listening to Wenatchee, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean that in a bad way. But yeah, it's that ride I did one time before back in like 2010 when I was doing a solo trip. But I'm looking forward to seeing that again because it's such a beautiful country.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing like a town named Twisp.
I know.
Twisp is a great town
Twisp
name.
Twisp is a great town.
Yeah. And was it Winthrop is a cute little like Old West.
It's so funny. Yeah. I mean, it seems like they should sanction tumbleweed to like go across, you know, have someone
hire a tumbleweed wrangler.
Yeah, to just like blow it across the street. I mean, yeah. It's
off
funny.
You go.
Exactly. You're late. I don't care what your union says. Tumbleweed Union is wrong. But yeah, it's a cute little town. And some of the views of the peaks up there, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember the names of the mountains, but the last climb from the east side, which is where that's how I did it last time I was there.
Oh.
It was just what?
You mean up Washington Pass?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like 8% or something like that.
It's
super
really
steep at the end.
It's really fun to go down.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, and then Ross Lake is up there. And Adele and I are both Kerouac fans, so he spent some time in a lookout tower up there. Yeah, that's what Dharma Bums concluded with his experience of that.
Well,
so.
Ross Lake is magical.
Beautiful.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then Diablo Dam.
Yes.
So the devil's holding back all that water on the west side of the lake.
Yeah.
And that's a fun descent, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a beautiful, it almost looks like tropical colors, lakes are just...
It's such a deep blue. It's almost like that mineral blue.
Yeah.
When you know that there's tons
like
of
heaven.
Deep water. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on the top of the world.
Yeah.
I can see why Kerouac felt closer to Dharma than anywhere else, I guess. Wait, is that a thing you're close to?
I don't think so.
No,
but
it's
we're gonna roll with it. Okay.
Okay.
I think they call it Mr. Dharma.
It's beautiful, man. So Ellie, you wrote Cycling Sojourner, the Oregon edition, and I think at that point it was just called Cycling Sojourner.
Yes.
Did you intend to write a second book, or did this kind of catch you by surprise?
I didn't mean to become a publisher. I didn't.
I just looked and here's all
to
these
me.
Books.
I was
thinking to myself, where's the money at?
Yeah, right. I didn't mean to. I just knew that the Oregon book needed to happen, and I had all of the right skill set, very particular set, the guidebook author, the actually cycling guidebook author, routes coordinator, routes planner. So I just had a fabulous touring partner, you know, all of those things in the bag. No, just kidding.
you're talking about your husband, Joe.
Oh, yeah. He actually is pretty fabulous.
Well, and a badass. I think he was the one that I remember him like beating a bunch of people in gold sprints at Velo Colt one time.
Oh
yeah.
Yes.
He got really serious about the gold sprints.
That was the Cycling Sojourner. That was the first.
Hits. It was the hits.
Yes.
It was the hop in the saddle.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. Yes.
Yep.
That
was so
book
fun.
Party.
Yeah, he got real party. Serious. There was two Schwinns, I think, from the 60s, maybe the 70s that people were racing on. He threw off his shirt. Yeah, that was
that's
something.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's what I remember about it.
If I may say so, that's a man who looks good with his shirt on, too.
I know.
So.
You're telling me.
He's built. No, but...
What were we talking about?
Your fabulous touring partner, I think, is where we left the
trajectory. Oh, I was saying how fabulous I was.
Oh,
this is
okay.
The Sprocket Podcast. We're talking with Ellie Tallheimer. She wrote The Cycling Sojourner, Washington Edition. So, Ellie, tell me...
You're getting really, really good at that.
That's so unnatural.
You're getting really, really good at that.
I think we were talking about
reasons why.
There's another train.
Yeah, here it comes. Wow, and the 7:30.
What's up, UV?
Late.
The Washington edition. It was not a surprise, but you decided later to make a second version.
Then the Hop in the Saddle. It evolved from the Oregon book. So Hop in the Saddle. And then I ended up publishing that one. It did really well, successful title. And before I knew it, I was approaching Washington Bikes, which was my partner on this project. And they're really championing.
It's a great IPA, isn't it? They are champions of bicycling in Washington.
Championing. Is that a word?
Yeah, sure.
Anyways.
It better be by now.
Bicycle tourism in Washington, because you know their equivalent of Travel Oregon, what you know is an organization that does so much work for bicycle tourism in our state. They totally defunded, so they have no one, and so Washington Bikes has stepped up to the plate to, because I mean Washington has some of the most amazing cycle touring.
They
can
really
find.
Do, yeah,
yeah, and just amazing roads. Traffic is super mellow. The diversity of landscapes will blow your mind. So,
yeah.
So they stepped in, and before I knew it, I was doing a Washington book, and I guess I'm going to keep on doing this.
Excellent.
Right.
So,
what other states do you have?
Yeah.
I am thinking Northern California might be my next one.
Okay. California gets to be like two or three books because it's so big.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay, yeah. And our friends Tammy and Logan from down near Shasta were telling us about. I know there's that new adventure cycling route that went in down in Northern California.
Arcadia? No.
Well, Arcadia is on the coast, so that'd be like the coastal route. But there's there's another one, I think, somewhere more inland.
Oh.
But, they put a route in down there, and Logan was saying that the riding is beautiful and serene, and the scenery is great. So, yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's kind of I don't know what is the next thing.
Okay.
But that's for the cycle touring guides. That's maybe.
That's a good idea.
Who knows?
Yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could it be New Jersey?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not going to be New Jersey.
Okay.
No. Can you imagine the state of New Jersey just calling you up? So I heard you wrote a few books.
Chris Christie. Hey.
That's right. I know there's...
I need some good PR here.
There's like a greenway that's being kind of pieced together piece by piece on the East Coast between city to city, kind of major cities connected by
that's
bikeways
cute.
And everything. Yeah. And a lot of it's going to be off, I think, off-road paths, which
that's
is cool.
That's awesome.
But it's not done by any means. So
yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be a while before that's ready for you to go and write a book about.
Yeah.
But so how did the experience of doing the research for this book compare to the one for last time, for when you did Oregon?
Well, there are a lot of different factors. Mm-hmm. One of which was I had different authors working for me on this one.
Yeah.
So five of the chapters are by other authors.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, I was pregnant for all of the research. Oh,
yeah. Packing heat.
I was packing major heat. And that was very special.
Yeah.
I was sick the entire time.
Right. So I was just listening to the KBOO bike show they had you on. Was that last week or this week? I forget. It was
last week, yeah.
Just recently you were talking with them. And I remember you sharing the story of being sick and just feeling terrible the entire time you were doing this trip, right?
Well, the thing is the only thing that really gave me any relief was bicycle touring.
Oh.
Not even bicycle riding from my house made me feel especially better. But if I was on a bicycle tour...
Something about being out.
I don't know what it was.
In the middle of nowhere.
And then I would come back, and the next day I would feel bad again. I have no idea what it was. The fresh air, the focus, I don't know, but... it helped me. I was so glad that I had this book.
That's so fascinating. It's kind of a mystery. Like, you still don't know what the answer is, but you know it helped.
Yeah, and pregnancy is so hardcore. I mean, you think the Trans Iowa is hardcore, you think bike ride. No. Pregnancy is so hardcore, and no one knows anything about the symptoms. You know, the symptoms or why some people have them and why other people don't, or why they go away or why they stay.
Yeah. And this was your first?
Yes, one and done.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It is kind of interesting thinking about doing a bicycle tour pregnant. It's not a thing that's common, I don't think. Like, when you bump into people who have panniers out in the middle of nowhere, they don't usually also have a baby inside them.
No, it's true.
I would imagine, like, did did people like that you run into, did you let them know like, and I'm pregnant, you know, as I'm doing this? Or
I toured up until 6 months, through 6 months.
Okay.
And I didn't show for, I just maybe looked like I had a couple too many beers and not, you know, I looked just like a little tubby. Right. Like, so if they wouldn't have known if I wouldn't have told them.
Okay. So. And it never really came up in conversation.
Oh yeah. I told them, but the people, you know, they just were so unfamiliar with bike touring that they didn't really know that that was like something special or interesting.
Right.
They,
like that as an added twist, didn't really register.
So they just kind of rolled with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I researched a lot about biking while pregnant, and there's no information. The only information really that's out there is, you know, women want to stay fit or, you know, keep the pounds off while they're pregnant. And so there's stuff talking to them about cycling.
Okay.
But there's not like something for cyclists wanting to keep on cycling. There's not a lot. And I'd like to write something about that, actually.
Well, then.
There it is.
So... I don't think there's a whole book, because I think maybe 15 people would buy it, but no, maybe 150. But it'd be very important to
I think we can boost those numbers.
Oh, yeah.
I think there are more people that are interested in this.
With the broadcasting power we have.
Right. Unleash the podcast.
There's so many women that I've talked to that just don't know. Can we bicycle? You know, what's the deal? Because some doctors will say, oh, no, because you'll fall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but that doesn't make any sense, right?
Right. Well, you shouldn't walk.
Well, I was going to say, you can fall anytime. Yes. You know? So, sitting down, damn it.
Or be sure to take your crutches with you when you go out pregnant. Yeah.
Right? Or just walk in like an invisible the gerbil bubble thing. Yeah. Like nothing will happen to you. So, and then some doctors say it's fine, you know. And I have a very healthy, beautiful young girl, and I cycled through my 40th week.
Yeah.
I was actually in labor and I was on my bicycle.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm not as hardcore as Katie Proctor. I don't know if you've talked to her, but...
I'm trying to remember the specifics. Did she bike herself through the hospital?
Yes, she was in labor.
That's a whole write-up in Our Bikes Ourselves?
Yes, okay. It is. Yeah, from Taking the Lane, or Ellie Blue Publishing.
Yeah.
So I'm not that hard, but I did go into labor. I was, because I would go and Ellie Blue and I would walk up and down the stairs at what we called Mount Labor.
That's clever.
And she would stay with me and exercise with me. And so we did that, and I was about 3 days overdue.
Okay.
Yep. And then I just kept on stopping and going, hold on. Second, and she's like, I don't think this is normal, and she started taking pictures of me.
Well, now, the baby's going to come out here by the reservoir.
We're going to get it recorded here. We're going to get it on record.
And then we'll have to boil the water.
And then, yes, and then we'll have to dump the reservoir.
Right.
So you said you contracted out some of the writing of various chapters to other folks. What was your connection with these other authors? Were people that you knew in person or others that you had been connected or referred to by someone?
I had been connected with... half of them, and then the other half I had just met because they were referred to me. One was a former Lonely Planet author, one of the ilk. And
you also have Lonely Planet experience, is that right?
Yeah, I wrote for them for a number of years.
She was Lonely Planet.
I wrote Cycling Italy for Lonely Planet.
Yes, yeah.
So, but it was an interesting experience being a manager and getting to sort of have these authors come on board and hear their voices and get to... what I wanted to do was have Washingtonians on board.
Okay.
Because I felt like, you know, I want Washingtonians to...
No, that makes sense.
To be a part of this. And all of these people loved touring.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of great contributions. In addition to the chapters, there's also little blurbs from time to time about various like special interest topics.
Mm-hmm.
And Steph Routh is not from Washington, but she has a great little...
shoestring.
Yeah, that was camping. It. Yeah. So if you can't afford the expensive stuff, here's how you fill in the gaps with common household implements.
Yeah.
I like the idea of rain gloves as just like the big yellow dish gloves.
Right?
It's a great idea.
Yeah, because the other ones, eventually they'll just peter out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a shoes and socks scenario or something.
So,
but, yeah.
Then that was carried over from the first book.
Oh, it was.
It was just it was edited and,
oh, okay,
and messed with a little bit.
Gotcha.
Because it was so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And people love that one. And okay. People also love the how to choose your touring partner.
Right. That's good advice. Yeah, yeah.
Make sure they don't suck.
Basically.
Yeah.
I won't ask you to name names, but what are some difficulties you've experienced with touring partners?
No, this is something that we've been like an ongoing discussion with.
You should
like,
look at that.
You and me and Adele.
Yeah.
You should look at that article. It has a set of questions to ask yourself and others. So, anyways, and you could get the book at cyclingsojourner.com if you want to read that. Nice. Did you see I did the microphone thing
exactly.
That you taught me how?
Yes. And, okay. And you did not issue a call to action. You just gave information. So we're good for radio.
Let's see. There was one woman who I didn't know very well who I went with, and we had a different communication style. Hmm. So that was kind of hard. I think that was the only one. I have had a lot of luck going with pretty wonderful, really wonderful people that I've just enjoyed getting to know over the years. And Stephanie Edmond here and down, I don't know, she's a bike fit person.
Okay.
She's so wonderful to go with. My husband is so wonderful to go with. So let's see, was there another one? One time my girlfriend, I went in, we were cycle touring in Cuba.
Okay.
And am I supposed to say that?
Well, hypothetically, you could have done it, but you wouldn't have been flying from America.
Right.
Right.
You could still get to Cuba.
Right.
Yeah. There just wasn't any direct connection.
Cuba, Florida.
Yes.
We were cycle touring through Cuba, Florida.
Oh, duh.
It's a beautiful place.
It's a sunshine state.
Is it inside Epcot?
Anyways, she was going through a rough patch.
Okay.
And so that was kind of hard, but she's still a wonderful friend.
Yeah.
But it's you know, you get to find out all sorts of different, you know, the onion layers start to peel off, and you just don't have enough energy to have any of the social lubrication that you normally have.
And you find out if it's a Walla Walla suite or not, or if it's the kind that the kind that will make you cry.
Right. So, or both. Usually both.
Yeah.
But I think it's one, I'm glad you're going with Adele. It's just like one of the most romantic things you can do.
It kind of is, yeah.
It's so romantic.
I feel lucky that she's as into it as I am.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I've told
you
this.
I hate you both.
I'm sure, Aaron, I've told you that I didn't go camping at all.
Until
I met Adele, because she actually knew about how to sleep in the woods. And up until that point, the only camping I had done was like a really shitty tent from, you know, like my parents' garage or something that I had, you know, we found at a garage sale in like 1995 and then pulled it out of storage in like, you know, 1997 or something like that. And then like you throw it in the car and you set it up somewhere, you sleep kind of uncomfortably, and then you go home. And Adele had spent time actually sleeping outdoors kind of with real gear. And, like, you know, she had, like, sleeping bags that weren't full of cotton and that sort of thing.
Like the double sleeping bag.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so it was just like, you know, having someone to take you and induct you is great. A good cycle touring partner can do that. Like, if you haven't done a lot of bicycle touring, you find someone else who has, that is one thing you could look for is, you know, what's the shared experience here? So, anyways, I'm happy to have had that because now I know how to sleep outdoors. But I was going to ask as far as transportation in Washington. I know the Cascadian, like kind of Puget Sound region, is all connected very well by transit. Mm-hmm. Some of these tours are in eastern Washington. What if you don't own a car? What are your options for getting to some of these other eastern Washington tours?
It will be really hard to go on the Okanagan tour. That's just going to be really plan on a lot of time to get out there and to get back.
Okay.
Because it starts from Tenasket.
Yeah.
And that's just very hard to get to with public transportation. You got to take a train and then bus. So it's a long way, and people won't be used to bikes being on the bus or so. It would just take a lot of time that lots of people just don't have. It's a 4 to 7 day tour.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's actually train service out to to Spokane.
That's true.
So you have to finagle it with your bike because they don't have bike. You can't put it your bike. You can't just take it off.
You can't like hang it on a hook or something.
You can. You can. It can be luggage to Spokane, but anywhere in between, if you want to get off in between, you there's only very, very few places that they will actually have manned stations that can take your bike off.
Yeah.
But it has to be boxed to Spokane. Oh, it's not like the sweet Cascadia, the Cascadian.
Not yet.
Cascade, no. Or Cascade line through Amtrak where you can just hang your bike up. It's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so that's fairly recent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Amtrak had, you know, if they were super interested in the bicycling demographic, they could make a couple of simple changes.
Right. And
really
make hundreds of dollars.
Make
wait, make millions of dollars.
They could at least make $97.56.
Yes. Yes.
They don't know what they're missing.
I'll take
that's
my $97 somewhere else.
But this is an old conversation,
right?
Between cycle tourists, you know.
Well, it's been a long, long contested thing that Amtrak doesn't serve the cyclist needs as well as it could.
Yeah.
But if you are okay with taking your bike apart a couple of times and putting it back together, and you can get your hands on some cardboard, it's not that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I think anyone should be. I don't know. This might be an overstatement here, but I think anyone should be comfortable enough with, you know, taking their bike apart to some degree.
Sure.
You know, we don't all need to be bike mechanics, but if you're out doing some touring, you should know some basic maintenance stuff, or at least be around people who know this stuff.
I think the Amtrak boxes are different than even the regular bike, the boxes that bikes are packed in. They're really big, so that you can just take your handlebars to the side, you just take off your pedals and I think you're good to go.
Yeah, and I even got my bike into one of the Amtrak boxes with the pedals on one time. We might with a blowtorch,
we couldn't get it off.
That was in Klamath Falls, up in the woods, and the guy was just like, oh, here, let me get my blowtorch. We'll figure it out.
Oh, really? I thought you were being facetious.
Nope, he actually had it there. Yeah.
Okay, then.
Can of propane and a big stream of flame. I don't know if it helps.
Packing heat.
Yeah, seriously. He knew about that. Yeah, so there's that.
He should have used his gun.
There you go.
Shoot it off. Shoot the tarnation out of that pedal. Greyhound is another
option,
right?
I love that
you
just said tarnation.
It's so old-timey, right? That shows you something about my perspective on like rural communities, and I probably need to upgrade that a little bit. Number one, they're far more profane than we give them credit for. They can be. But no, there are busing options as well, either Greyhound or local coaches that sometimes will allow you to take your boxes of bike.
For sure. And you can usually get it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good chance you're going to, you know, but, it's not really, some of the places out there aren't used to it. So sometimes, you know, some things happen. Like, I don't know if you guys remember Ellie Blue and
The Brompton episode, yeah. With
debacle.
Amtrak.
The great Amtrak escapade, yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyways, they were told to take their folding bikes off. It was in the middle of the night, I believe.
Right. Even though the policy clearly allows them to have these folding bikes as luggage in the luggage area.
Right. But, so it was a huge to-do. So there's stuff like that can happen, but I haven't really... I think that if you're pretty polite...
Yeah, and Ellie Blue and Joe Beal are nothing but polite.
Yes.
They are the nicest people.
Yeah, I think they just barged into their sleeping car and just
take the folding block.
There's back the off. Terrorists. And well, I won't make any apologies for like Amtrak not doing what they say they will do on paper, but I do understand that the conductors do work really long shifts. And for example, on the Empire Builder, I know those guys are on basically for like 3 days straight or something
that.
I mean, they get like, you know, kind of short breaks and that sort of thing, but they don't get like a full 8 hours off, I don't think.
Wow.
So depending on where you are on the line, they could be having maybe a bad day.
Right. It's true. I guess that's true anyway.
Last time I stayed up 72 hours, I had a pretty bad day. I don't think I've ever stayed up 72 hours that I know of.
Do you remember the last 24 hours of that 72-hour day?
No.
Was it the naked bike ride?
It could have been. I've been getting less sleep recently than I need. The other option I thought was really interesting was U-Haul. And you mentioned this in a couple of different tours. Some cities will allow you to drive a U-Haul point to point.
Well, sometimes, you know, when you don't have... not a lot of cities have car rental. You know, you have to be a city of a certain size.
Yeah.
Or not of towns.
An international airport.
But even smaller towns will have U-Haul, and U-Haul is cool because lots of them are one way.
Yeah.
Right.
You can go one way. So you can toss your bike in the back of U-Haul and smoosh in and go. So that's an option.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want to do that.
Doesn't even have to be like a huge U-Haul because they rent vans and that sort of thing these days. They rent trucks?
I think they do, but I think that's more finicky than the other. Yeah. Okay. That's more finicky than the other kind.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a great option, and it's one I would not have considered.
Yeah.
So I like this idea. It's creative thinking, and again, doesn't require you to own your own vehicle. So if you don't, then you still have a way to get your gear to the starting location that you want. So like, for example, Port Angeles, I believe, is one of the ones that was written about where you can drop off your U-Haul there.
Yep.
And you never have to come back for it. They'll take care of it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And most of the tours can be accessed relatively simply by a train. And especially if you want to add another day of biking on, the Eastern Oregon ones are pretty accessible except for the Tenasco one.
Okay.
The one up in the Okanagan.
Yeah, yeah. That's
just an incredible one.
Really beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just on the other side of the rain shadow, right? Like it's kind of like pine foresty.
There's deserts.
Desert, okay.
It's deserts, and then it's also forest. It's deep forest.
Yeah.
So you climb up, you go through orchards, kind of canyons and river valleys, where there's orchards and beautiful lakes, sparkling lakes, and then you head up into the mountains.
Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, and then you come back, and you kind of circle through, and you come back down, you go through ghost towns from old mining, booms, and it's people, I don't know, I think we saw maybe two or three cyclists.
Okay.
Maybe three, I think two.
Like on your entire time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was
in June.
Yeah.
In June, so.
Wow.
So it's still kind of early in the season if you're going, like, towards the mountains, that sort of thing, I suppose.
Yes, but man, if you look at the San Juans, it gets thousands and thousands of cyclists that come.
Definitely.
And then the Okanagan, there's never a crappy strip of road.
Really?
Like in some of the Oregon tours are fabulous, but there's like maybe at least a half a mile or 6 miles of the whole tour that's crappy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like through a town, you have to get on a highway. There's the Tenasket, I guess if you count downtown Tenasket as trafficy, then.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, you just can be on amazing roads.
And that's a smaller town.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's little.
Not a big draw for traffic. There's no rush hour to speak of, I'm sure.
No. Well, maybe. I mean, it's along Highway 97, so there's a little bit of traffic. And the cool part, I guess for me up there, another cool part is that Tenasket and Republic both have food co-ops that are amazing.
Oh, really?
So it's not a food desert out there.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. So
you can get your seitan if you want it.
It's so funny. I don't think I've eaten or said that word since the 90s, but good job.
They make those little beef jerky replacement things that I like.
Oh, okay, good.
But, yeah. Soy
seitan.
Protein. Yes.
It's like your turn.
Hail seitan. there's not a food desert.
Yeah.
And
Republic has a brewery.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
No.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The other one that was really intriguing to me was the Walla Walla Loop, because this is looks like beautiful country.
Yes.
And I remember we went through that, Adele and I, 2 years ago John. Podcast listener John's out there in Walla Walla.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
Hi, John.
Yeah. They've got some beautiful country out there. I'm trying to remember the names of the towns that are just north because there's a couple of.
Waitsburg?
Waitsburg. That's it. I was going to say Williamsburg. But Waitsburg, Washington is this cute little town. Wonderful little hardware store.
Yeah.
And some great food. There was actually. Dayton has a brewery we didn't stop at because we were pushing.
Well, Waitsburg has a brewery.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I kept seeing beer and kept being like, damn these times. I really wanted to stop, but we had to keep pushing on. So
Dayton has a brewery and they have a tap called Shitty Beer.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's like mess ups from
there. Oh, we saw there was a picture of this when you did the Velocult release party.
Oh, there was?
That was on the projection.
Oh, yeah. So they have actually the shitty tap. And we've had a beer from the shitty tap, and yeah. it was not that shitty.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, they had gotten the flavor profile wrong or something.
Right.
So
it's kind of like Captain Crunch.
The when Chief Springs. It's actually...
it becomes oh, magic wow. stars or something.
Well, when they mix
that
like
made
the...
me a little ill.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, I think they had like the crunch berry mix up where they had like the wrong pieces. Oh, and it was
yeah.
like, whoops.
All berries.
But
yeah.
it was actually pretty good. Yeah. I mean, as I recall, as a young child, it probably yeah. wouldn't be good to me today.
Except for it Fs you in your sugar hole.
Yes. And nobody likes that. This is what happens, Larry. So, yeah.
oh. What? Isn't that how it feels?
I would imagine so. It's been a while. I'm not much of a cereal guy, though.
You're lying. You're lying.
What?
Are
about not being a cereal guy?
No, about not eating Captain. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, Captain it's Crunch, been at least 5 years.
I see a little bit Captain of Captain Crunch. Crunch dust on your bag.
It's all like ground on the carpet, right into the computer. Yeah. Where were we? Were we beer?
Beer.
Shitty
yeah.
beer.
And it's so Chief Springs, the brewery is called Chief Springs Brewery or,
okay.
Or Firebrand Pub. I can't remember exactly the name, but it's actually started by the fire chief.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when there's a call out, they have this big spinny arrow thing, you know, like a dialing for dollars thing or, uh-huh. you know, Wheel of Fortune. And whatever it lands on, there's like a special, like if the pints are $1 or pints are $2 or...
Oh, wow.
So
or pints are double priced.
Makes you feel better about somebody's house burning down.
you gotta yeah, do something to alleviate the emotional distress of the moment.
Oh, I'm so worried about the... pints are $1. Okay.
Cheap, shitty beer. Sounds good. Yeah.
He was awesome.
That's
we got
pretty
to
great.
Talk to him.
Yeah. It's really cool when brewers are also people who do other things. Yeah. And you find that in a lot of rural towns, like mm-hmm. people wear many hats. So
yeah.
literally and figuratively, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah. Did you meet any other interesting characters that maybe shared multiple hats like that?
Let me see. Multiple hat wearers.
Like the postman was also the dog catcher or something like that.
I'm racking my brain and I can't think of
it.
There
would be a conflict of interest.
Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Never mind. Yeah.
Postman
Sorry.
And dog catcher.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah. I'm sure there was, but I just I'm drawing a blank.
No worries. No worries at all. So what are you touring with this book at all? Are you going anywhere for events or?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little bit different with a 5-month-old.
Right.
So that's a little bit different.
Parties look a little different.
Parties look a little, they end at 6:15
a lot more
streamers PM
and
instead
hats
of
are pointier.
Right, right. Well, that's 6:15 is just like the people who don't really catch social cues. That's they're the only ones left.
No, but she's great traveling.
Yeah.
So we'll actually be going around Washington a
Very
little
cool.
bit.
Cool.
I think I'll be talking at the REIs and talking in Tacoma. There's a wonderful cycling club down there that I've gone to talk to about the Oregon book. And
nice. Which one
maybe
is that?
Bellingham. It is the Spokane Wheelman Club.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually met her while I was researching the Oregon book.
Oh, nice.
And a group of them were out in Hell's Canyon. And so we just, like, you know, hung out with them for the night. And
yeah.
And they asked me to come visit, and now they want me to come visit again.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can get the book. It's cyclingsojourner.com.
Mm-hmm.
And to spell that, it's S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R?
Yes.
Sojourner.
Yep.
I win the B. It's yeah. CyclingSojourner.com. You can get all three of these books that we mentioned. There's Cycling Sojourner, Cycling Sojourner Washington, and Hop in the Saddle,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of the interstitial. And Hop in the Saddle was also a great project. We really enjoyed that one because I think there's a couple. I know I had never been to Upright Brewing before
oh,
I
yeah.
read the book.
Oh, cool.
And Adele said, let's go to Upright. So we did. And it's great.
That's very cool.
And yeah, it's just a bunch of great stuff. And of course, we don't advocate riding drunk. Don't do that. But if you put in some good miles and want a beer to reward yourself with, Hop in the Saddle can help you find a way to make that happen.
And there's tasters, too. You can always have tasters.
That's Ooh. Right. Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming out, and good luck with the book.
Thank you.
If you had, say, one of these tours in the Washington book that you haven't done yet, or, well, you've probably done all of them, I guess.
let me see. I have not done the John Wayne Trail.
Okay, yeah. So are you interested in the John Wayne Trail?
Incredibly.
Okay, yeah.
It is not a lot. Do you know what it is?
Yes. It's actually one of the things I think that I was obsessed with as a child because, you know, it goes, technically it goes all the way across the state. Mm-hmm. Practically, it probably goes to Ellensburg.
It goes past there into Idaho.
Right, right. Roughly. Yeah, so the trail is very rideable. As a gravel surface.
Until Ellensburg.
On the west side, yeah. And then the rest of it's kind of old ballast and it hasn't really been converted into something rideable yet.
Yeah, and so we have the route goes from Seattle to Ellensburg.
Okay, excellent. Yeah.
In the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And $5 camping along the way.
Yeah.
At the time of publishing.
Yep, at the time of publishing and just kind of rural Washington at its best and... not a lot of traffic. Not a lot of people know about it, but people should because it's this incredible multi-use trail.
Yeah, and there are not that many rail trails that you can take a multi-day trip on. Most of them aren't that long.
It's true. And especially in Oregon, we have, you know, we don't have a lot of options for multi-use trails.
We are deficient.
Speaking of trains. We got the 40-mile loop.
Right, that's really...
Not 40 miles, not a loop. Just so you know. It does have an end, though, up by Kelly Point. it's called
the
a loop.
The Banks Fernonia.
Well, yeah, that one's pretty good. Yeah.
It's 26, 20, 25 miles.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's the ever increasing one over at Cottage Grove.
Oh, yes. Was it the Rao River Trail?
Yes.
Yeah, which it's like 85 miles. It's actually like 25, I think.
I think it's like 12.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's.
Much aggrandized. It is part of the Oregon Scenic Bikeways.
But they love to talk about it over there.
Yeah.
And they love to increase the mileage of it every time they talk
Definitely.
About it.
So the John Wayne Trail, also known at, Iron Horse State Park?
Yeah.
It's like
Iron
a
Horse
long
Trail.
Linear park. It's a great idea. Great option. So someday I need to do this.
Yeah, it just sounds so ideal, even with kids, because there's no traffic.
Maybe especially with kids, yeah.
Yes, especially with kids.
Well, let's before we stop talking about bicycle touring, if you were going to tour with your child, what's your preferred conveyance of choice?
Oh, well, I think that because Joe and I like to do longer rides ourselves, and so we're planning on touring with Ruby, my little girl.
Good for you.
And
hi, Ruby, when you're old enough to hear this. She won't be old enough to hear this for a long time.
Not for a while.
So, yeah, I think we have a Chariot.
Okay, yes.
And that's a really good choice for us because you can also convert it really easily. Chariot. Chariot.com.
Like in Ben-Hur.
No, I'm going to get her a whip. I'm going to get her, but only for her dad.
Yes. No, this is a trailer made by, Chariot.
Yeah.
The company.
Cheers.
Exactly.
And it can convert for cross-country skiing and jogging.
Oh, my. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So it really is like a multi-use.
It is.
Yeah.
And we have a tradition of going to a fire tower for New Year's.
Oh, nice.
Every year with our friend Bernie.
Fire towers are absolutely great.
Again, Jack Kerouac?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's what we're going to use. We're going to see how it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Aaron, did you have any more questions about Cycling Sojourner?
Not this time.
All right. Fabulous. Well, Ellie, thank you.
That was
and,
fun.
And we'd like to have you back next time when Cycling Sojourner New Jersey comes out. CyclingSojourner.com is the place to find it.
You've been listening to the Sprocket Podcast. Find us on the internet at SprocketPodcast.com or on KRXY FM 91.1 FM.
FM. That's right.
Well,
should we take a break here real quick?
Yeah, we'll do a break and then headlines.
Sounds good.
All right.
And we're back.
All right. That was... a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. No, Ellie is super cool.
Yeah.
Very personable and downright fun. And it comes through in her writing style, by the way. That's the thing that you will find if you read Cycling Sojourner, that she has a lot of personality. I think Adele's favorite catchphrase that she uses was something about being able to bounce a quarter off your butt and like whether, that would tell you whether or not you were fit to sleep like on the ground without a pad.
Right on.
Yeah. Or something like that, along those lines. So...
we were just recording the room there.
It's all good. No. Nice. Wow, it's so much quieter now.
Yeah. Well, I've got that one boosted way up.
Oh, right. That's that could be part of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anywho, mail?
Yes. Well, you know, we got mail. Hey, we got mail.
I was thinking how are we going to do this, like, during the live show?
Oh, yes.
Like, do I just lead everybody in chorus here?
Yeah, I think so, yes, with a live brass band.
I was going to say, I want to get a full brass band or something behind me doing this.
Yeah. So, there's just a couple of things. This isn't strictly mail, but a friend of mine showed me a video of a man who builds tree houses for a living. Apparently, he's got a TV show.
Okay.
I think it's on the Discovery Channel. And apparently, he has this elevator he built, which is, in fact, a bicycle. So he sits down, selects the direction I think that he wants to go or something, turns the pedals, and this bicycle raises into the air up to the tree house that he lives
That's
in or has
pretty
built.
Cool. Yeah.
And apparently he does a lot of these kind of out in the Idaho panhandle area, I believe.
Okay.
So I need to look into this. I need to find more information about him. But if we can get in touch with him, like, how great would it be to talk to the guy who builds tree houses and uses a bike as an elevator?
This could be the new direction of real estate.
Yes. Yes, it could. Build up, not out.
That's right. And with existing infrastructure, the tree is already there.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that means you can leave them up as opposed to not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Especially the trees.
Especially the trees.
Tim Mooney just did the Pedal Shift Project is his podcast that he just started. And Tim's been on the show before. He's one of our listeners. He's the one that we just shared the video of him being swamped and his tent being inundated but not soaked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
that was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tim.
It sounds like he made it out okay and learned some valuable lessons in the process.
That's
so
right.
The thing with Pedal Shift is pedalshift.net, I believe, is the web address. And he's had the blog up for a little while, but he's just now starting a podcast. So the first episode is like 5 minutes long just to say, like, hey, this is Tim introducing this.
And
he called me and we had a nice little chat. How long ago was that? A couple days ago. Anyways, that's coming apparently later this week.
All
so,
right.
So we will, of course, tweet that out when it happens.
Look at that.
From, see, now I feel
host
like,
to guest.
I feel like a douche when I say I'm going to tweet out something that I've featured on. I don't think I've ever felt douchier than that. So, yes, there that is. But anyways.
But you already have tweeted that. Like, hey, guys, I'm on the Pedal Shift.
Well, I think I retweeted. Now I really sound douche. So, thank you, Tim, for it looks like this is going to be another great resource. And he's focusing very heavily, I think, on bicycle touring. So if you haven't got enough bicycle touring talk, he's going to have lots of great stuff and interesting and inspiring conversations from lots of people. And I'm not just saying that because I'm one of the first ones that he's posting.
Ah.
So, yes, if you haven't had enough of my voice, doubtful.
I like how you just paused right there for a while.
There's more of me somewhere else. So, yeah, anyways, yeah, thank you, Tim, for that. And Sheila from Calgary had found this cute little picture in a cafe up in Yeg.
Yeg.
Is that Y-E-G?
Y-E-G.
Did we ever figure out why?
Yeah, yeah. It's their airport code.
Right, but why it's a Y-E-G as opposed to Calgary.
I don't think I ever bothered to look that up.
There's a G in Calgary. I'm assuming C-A-L was taken.
No. It's Edmonton.
I'm sorry. My bad. And I will read this. It's a wooden placard that has a picture of a bicycle on it. It's a nice little mixty. Actually, no, it's not a mixed. It's just a dropped bar, dropped top tube. Yeg represents the city of Edmonton. So the E stands for Edmonton then. All right.
Yes.
Thank you for finding that on the internet. And I really need to apologize to Glenn Angela and everybody else in Edmonton.
But we still haven't figured out why it's a why.
Well, Yahoo Answers will give us some sort of explanation, right?
Why am I doing this? I'm closing this out right now. I'm not even bothering to read the answer.
Okay. Well,
we got a show to do here.
Well,
folks.
Okay.
And I'm serious.
The quote says, "The bicycle is a simple solution to some of the world's most complicated problems." So, for example, the problem of why YEG stands for Edmonton.
The bicycle.
You could use a seriously complex system of tubes and wires and people on Yahoo Answers, and they could, you know, you could try and figure out the answer to that.
Sure.
And you might or might not get the truth. But a simple machine like the bicycle a simple solution to some of the world's most complex problems, complicated problems. You get on that bike, ride to Edmonton, and find someone who would tell you.
That was a great way to stretch that out.
I hope I brought it around.
That was beautiful.
I hope we all learned something today. there was something I was going to share as Adele and I go out into the woods and into the deserts and such, and across the tumbleweed prairies and all those places, we are going to be sending postcards to people. So I put this out, I think, somewhere in public. If you'd like to be a part of the postcard club, send me your address. I will send you a postcard from somewhere. And I think the only thing I'm not going to do is send people from Portland postcards from Multnomah Falls. Everything else is fair game.
I almost want to do that.
I'll send you one. But yeah,
I want to ride my bike out to Multnomah Falls and just send them out.
There are a few people, like, yeah, obviously my family and people I know and love, that will make it onto the list kind of by default. But if I don't have your address already and you want a postcard, let me know. It's free to you. It's just you just have to surrender your address, which means I can show up and sleep on your lawn. I won't do that without asking.
Or back porch.
Yeah. And for most of the people I've gotten addresses from already, like, we're not going near their houses. So,
right.
Yeah. Like Darren in Australia, for example, I'm not going to be sleeping on his lawn anytime soon.
Not yet.
I would like to, but yeah, we're not going there this summer. So anyways, fear not. All you will get is a postcard. I think that's just about it. There are other things that have happened in the world, but we'll leave you all be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had a good long talk with Ellie here.
That we did.
So, you know, we'll let that be the meat.
Yeah. Good show.
Yeah. Well, are you ready to close this out?
I am ready to close this out. Find us on the internet. It's thesprocketpodcast.com. Send us email, happy letters and sad letters, at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, @sprocketpodcast, on Facebook, com/sprocketpodcast. We're on Facebook. Fuck it.
The Facebook was never in the script card. It
never was. You can call us 503-847-9774, or you can send us a text message. And thanks to all of our lovely music providers, Ryan J. Lane and Hurtbird. Thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katharina Mellengard, Roger Grigsby, and Wayne Norman, and the three others that are not on this one. It's okay. We love you all. It never hurts to press Apple S to save the file. A Sprocket Studios production.